everybody. This is Kate Romero, host of Spiritual Hollywood, and I want to welcome you to the show tonight. And for those who are new to Spiritual Hollywood, I want to thank you for tuning in and listening this evening. We have as our very esteemed guest, Dan Millman, author of Way of the Peaceful Warrior and Wisdom of the Peaceful Warrior, as well as almost too many books to mention, but I'll mention them anyway. We have The Journeys of Socrates, Sacred Journey of the Peaceful Warrior, Wisdom of the Peaceful Warrior, Divine Interventions, The Life You Were Born to Live, Everyday Enlightenment, No Ordinary Moments, Body Mind Mastery, The Laws of Spirit, Living on Purpose, and Peaceful Warrior E-Experience, Inspirational Stories. He also has children's books, Secret of the Peaceful Warrior and Quest for the Crystal Castle, which are all amazing, incredible, incredible books. And a movie that comes from Peaceful Warrior is coming out nationally on March 30th, and we're all very, very excited about that and just thrilled that this book that was in Dan's heart has made it to the big screen and will go around the world in a heartbeat. And that's what it's all about here on Spiritual Hollywood. And I'd like to introduce Dan Millman by reading a bit from his bio and just giving you a thumbnail print of who it is we're about to have on and speak with. About Dan Millman and his work, Dan is a former world champion athlete, university coach, martial arts instructor, and college professor. His books, including The Journeys of Socrates, Way of the Peaceful Warrior, and The Life You Were Born to Live, have inspired millions of readers in 29 languages. Dan's keynote seminars and trainings have influenced people from all walks of life and all ages, including leaders in the fields of health, psychology, education, business, politics, sports, entertainment, and the arts. Dan and his wife, Joy, live in Northern California. He has three grown daughters and two grandsons. That's very, very exciting. So I'd like to, without further ado, welcome Mr. Dan Millman. Hello, Dan.
Hello, Katie. Glad to be here with you.
Thank you for coming on our show. This is a very, very exciting time for you and for all of us, actually, with the film coming out nationally and your new book, Wisdom of the Peaceful Warrior, which actually sheds new light on ancient wisdom. So I would like to start out with what your thoughts are about Wisdom of the Peaceful Warrior and what it was that called you forth to present us with this companion book to Way of the Peaceful Warrior.
Well, every book has its own story, and having written 13 of them, people have asked me at times, you know, which is your favorite book? And if they're a parent, I say, well, who's your favorite child? And they laugh, they get it, that I don't really have favorites. Each one has a different purpose, quite different, and different content. And I was so happy. At 27 years after writing Way of the Peaceful Warrior, I had a chance to bring it up to date, because many people still have this snapshot of me from 1980 when I first wrote the book, or even 1966 when I described myself as this young college student in Berkeley who met this strange and enigmatic old man I called Socrates. So Wisdom of the Peaceful Warrior finally clarifies from my current perspective these teachings of Socrates. Many people understood, many people misunderstood. So now I have a chance to clarify and answer the questions that many people have asked me over the years.
I think that's marvelous, and it's extremely insightful for you to think to do something like that. And I was reading the book that you so graciously sent to me, and I found a passage in here, Wisdom of the Peaceful Warrior, and I just opened it anywhere, and I trusted myself that the first thing I found would be the very thing that that I would be asking you about on tonight's show. And you can literally open this book anywhere to any page and get something absolutely amazingly insightful for the beginning of your day, for the end of your day, when you're about to go into a business meeting and you feel a little bit, I don't know, verklempt or nervous or anxious or not centered or present. You can just open this book anywhere and get the most wonderful, wonderful seeds of wisdom. For instance, I opened it to page 62 and I went to mind ripples. I'm going to just read a little bit from it. For example, You have a cold now. Its physical symptoms tell you when your body needs to rebalance itself, to restore its proper relationship with sunlight, fresh air, simple food, just so. Stressful thoughts reflect a conflict with reality. Stress happens when the mind resists what is. And that is, I mean, right there, anybody who's feeling the slightest bit stressful, like any of the actors who are listening right now before an audition, if you're feeling stressfulness in your mind, it simply reflects a conflict with reality. Right, Dan?
Well, yes. No resistance, no stress. But, of course, it's natural for many of us to, when something disappoints us or doesn't go the way we'd like it to, it's natural to feel some stress. Stress is an abstract idea because a good thing can happen to us and we can feel stress on a wedding, you know, or winning a lottery, I mean, or getting a role. I mean, anything can be stressful in that we're kind of up for it. But
right.
The fact is, tension is something that we can deal with because it's more of a concrete thing. We know what tension is like. We can consciously tense our muscles and then we can release them. So even though we may have a lot of thoughts arising or doubts arising, emotions arising, we can still focus on taking a deep breath, on relaxing the body, and on doing whatever we're doing with as much elegance as we can bring to the moment. That brings us back to the present,
right,
back to the body. So this is one practical way to address that.
Right. And right before an audition, Dan, that's when the actors that you know, are out there, and I was an actor for 15 years, so I do know myself, right before you go in the room, that anxiety, that feeling of not being present, that could be also felt as stress. And if we just know going in that that's just a conflict with reality, we come back to our present self and we go in and we deliver a performance that is coming from source. And that's the benefit that I immediately got when I read this, and there's more to it. It says stress happens when the mind resists what is, and when you understand the source, you'll see that the ripples of your mind have nothing to do with you. You'll just watch them without attachment, no longer compelled to overreact every time a ripple drops or a pebble drops. You will be free of the world's turbulence as soon as you stop taking your thoughts so seriously. And that is, just the very first place I opened the book to, and that was so insightful that I thought that it would be a really great opening for, you know, one of the ways that you explain what went on in the Way of the Peaceful Warrior and what your messages in that book meant. It's just very elegantly brought out.
Well, and what's interesting is what you read was actually, see, what I did in Wisdom of the Peaceful Warrior, I took about 100 excerpts, the teaching points that Socrates made in Way of the Peaceful Warrior in the original book. So first I have a paragraph expressing what Socrates said, which is what you just read on air. And then the section you haven't addressed yet is what I bring to it and how I clarify that section from the original book. What I could do is, normally one doesn't read a list of things on air, but just to give people a flavor for the variety of topics, I've selected just a few sample topics or section titles in the book. Reality Check 1, 2, and 3. The Search Begins. How Shall We Live? Doorways to Dreaming, Body Wisdom, Ignorance, Mystery, and Bliss, The Way of Action, Trust the Inner Knower, The Shaman's Reality, Accepting Change, Opening the Doors of Perception, Darkness Before the Dawn, Owning the Power of Choice, Dynamic Meditation, Changing the Past, Changing the Future, Attachment and Suffering, Working on Self, Working on Society, The Meaning of Happiness, Approaches to Healing, when the Spiritual Honeymoon is Over, Natural Breathing, The Seduction of Spiritual Experience, The Art of Non-Resistance, and Reality's Reminders. These are some of the topics that I address, and one of those areas you just read a small sample from.
Wonderful. Wonderful. And I just really enjoyed looking through the book and reading it, just feel that there are a lot of books out there that I really wish could be have the light shed on them in the way that you do Wisdom of the Peaceful Warrior, as a companion book. And I do see it as a companion book because it does bring out more of the richness of the message in the first book, Peaceful Warrior, of the Way of the Peaceful Warrior. So that was a very, very good thing that you did. And I want to now talk a little bit more about Peaceful Warrior, the movie that's coming out. You've got a couple of very, very exciting things happening all at the same time here, which is, you know, the launching of Wisdom of the Peaceful Warrior and the national release of Peaceful Warrior, the movie. And I'm just wondering, what are some things that are happening around your life right now that are giving you some idea of what will take place once the film does open nationally?
Well, yes, and I know, of course, I love talking about the film. I think they did such a good job translating the book to the screen. But I would like to just make one last statement about Wisdom of the Peaceful Warrior before we move on.
Which absolutely.
Because even stronger than, well, it's nice to be able to clarify the teachings, I literally, and I strongly feel this, many people have read Way of the Peaceful Warrior. No one has actually understood the original book until they've read Wisdom of the Peaceful Warrior. So it's not just a companion volume or a workbook. It actually sheds entirely new light. So I consider it an essential companion. That's my view, and that's why I wrote it. Now, moving on to the movie. You know, many authors that I know get a little grumpy when their work is adapted to the screen because they don't really understand the necessity to make changes when you move from one medium to another. But it's like turning a painting into a sculpture or a cabinet. You have to make condensations and changes for the film medium. So knowing that going in, even though the movie covers just the first two-thirds of the book, I was actually quite pleased with how they decided to convey a lot of essential messages in an entertaining way. And that's why I'm supportive of the film. I'm not one of the producers, nor do I have a direct financial stake in the film. I'm supporting it as author simply because I think they made a very positive nourishing film that people will actually benefit from, which you can't say about a lot of films.
Right. This is true. So with regard to the journey that you went on to help see this film reach the screen, how many years did that take?
Oh, only about 27 years.
27 years. Wow.
Yeah,
that is
yeah.
A lifetime, but you know, I mean, for everyone out there who has a film in their heart they would like to see on the screen, that's very encouraging that no matter how long it takes, you can actually achieve your goal and to just stay with it. And if you really, really believe in something like David Welch did when he read Way of the Peaceful Warrior, he just had to make it into a movie. And, you know, David Welch and John Rotz were both on the show back in August talking about the journey of bringing the film to the screen. And, wow, what an odyssey that was. And you just never know what will happen next as long as you stay with it.
That's exactly right. In my own journeys, I've learned that I can control my efforts, but I can't control the outcomes. So clearly there's no guarantee that if someone just persists, they will get whatever they want. People love to hear that. But the fact is, I can't control whether I sink a putt, make a basket, find love, or find success. However, by making the effort, I vastly increase the odds of getting what I want over not making the effort. Now, Michael Jordan said it well. He said, you make 0% of the shots you don't take. So I took the shot. David Welch took the shot. He took the risk as well as the producer, Mark Amin, head of Subini Films. And they took a risk, making a teaching kind of film that was a different sort of project. And I think their efforts have paid off. And when the movie opens wide March 30th, I think millions of people are going to be able to discover a new kind of film.
Yes, and I really love that it is a movie that circles around athletics, that gymnastics is really the focal point, and the message comes through your love of gymnastics and your journey and your life on your path as a young man who had big ideas about certain things and how when you had the motorcycle wreck and hurt yourself, that was basically really the best lesson of your life, was it not, at that point?
Well, yes. In fact, I often tell people that I don't think I'd be teaching around the world now and having written the books I did, had I not shattered my leg back then in 1966. But on the other hand, I don't recommend fractures as a method of personal spiritual growth.
Of course not.
Still, I've never seen adversity without a hidden gift if we're paying attention and if we make good use of the opportunity. So it did shake me up, so to speak. It lent me a new perspective on living that difficulty. You know, I often ask people, you know, have you experienced physical, emotional, or mental pain in your life? And of course, everybody says yes. And I just point out that people are probably a bit stronger and wiser and more compassionate for having gone through those difficulties. I see adversity and challenge as a kind of spiritual weightlifting to strengthen our spirits. So there are benefits, even though we may not welcome it at the time. That's what I found, and most of us share that same experience.
Well, if we all have just a perfectly happy, joyous life with really no challenge or conflict, what would we have to write about?
Exactly. It's like spiritual weightlifting. You know, you don't lift any weights, you don't get stronger.
Exactly. And so tell me, Dan, how is Earth like a spiritual boot camp, in your opinion?
Well, that's one way, because we do meet challenges along the way. As much as we'd like things to be smooth more of the time or less difficult, it is a form of training, and everywhere I look, I see peaceful warriors in training. And what I mean by that is I see every human soul as a striving to live with a more peaceful heart, but a warrior spirit, because it takes courage to live in this world. It takes courage to love in this world, because we lose all we love eventually, and so that's the bittersweet quality of life. Warriors don't just talk kind of, you know, surround everybody with light and be a flower child. I mean, there's the shadow we have to deal with as well. And that's what makes the warrior, peaceful warrior's way a bit different from certain other teachings, because we have to account for reality, not just about ideals or abstract concepts that sound nice, but what do you do with that?
And, right.
And I, as you pointed out very well, Katie, the fact that Peaceful Warrior, the movie, is grounded in sports, in gymnastics, in striving. It's physical. You can see it. You can experience it. You can feel it. It's not just some, you know, kind of idealistic philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that helps a lot, having it grounded in a sports kind of...
Yes, I believe that it takes the focus off the message so much because in Hollywood, as we all know, it is rather difficult to get a message movie made and to go to national release, because people tend to, you know, want more entertainment for their movie going dollar, and the fact that this deals with gymnastics, and it's just really a very, very well done movie, very, very rich with all kinds of levels. Not once do you really feel like you're sitting in a message movie, but the message is palpable.
Absolutely. And that's what makes it different from a lot of spiritual cinema. There have been many lovely films and good-hearted attempts to convey teachings and so on, especially recently. But, you know, if we think about it, there have been metaphysical themes in many mainstream movies. Phenomenon, Resurrection, that old film with Ellen Burstyn, beautiful film.
Mm-hmm.
We've had Ghost, and you could probably name a lot of them, too. There have been so many films.
The Matrix even has.
The Matrix,
yes.
Absolutely.
And even The Fight Club with Brad Pitt, believe it or not, I found to have a very spiritual message in it.
I once asked my daughter, when she was young, she read a lot, and I said, What spiritual books have you read? She was a child at the time. She was about, you know, 10 or 11. And she read a lot. And she named a number of books she thought were spiritual books. None of them had angels or New Age kind of themes. But there were books that inspired her.
Mm-hmm.
So certainly any film, any book that inspires us, any piece of music has a spiritual element to it because it inspires us, the same root, spirit. But some films have real metaphysical overtones, like Ghost, like Sixth Sense, and so on. And yet they weren't really setting out to teach, to bring a message. And, you know, everybody knows Sam Goldwyn said, if you want to send a message, use Western Union. The films weren't supposed to contain message teachings. And the more recent films that we say are spiritual cinema, they often have wonderful points to make, but they're not always put in an entertaining package.
Exactly.
And I think what makes Peaceful Warrior stand out, and people are going to discover that all over the country soon, is that it really is a mainstream movie. And yet, it's going to offer some reminders. I've seen some young people and baby boomers like myself who just love the reminders because they say, wow, it's like cinema with substance. Both.
I like that, cinema with substance.
Yep.
That's great. And also, Dan, you know, we all are born knowing everything there is to know, but we forgot that we know it, in my opinion. And when you see something or read something or hear something that resonates to you, that's because it is touched on the truth that you know, that you've forgotten that you know. And for me, when I read Way of the Peaceful Warrior, even though I generally 99% of the time will gravitate towards personal development books, I picked up Way of the Peaceful Warrior after it was recommended to me at a workshop I was at, and I could not put it down. And I'm telling you, I got more out of reading that book, The Way of the Peaceful Warrior, that was not as termed a personal development book. I got more personal development out of that than I did probably 80% of what I'd read up to that point, which was I'm very, very well read. But that book made such an impression and an impact on me that I stood up and declared, this has to be a movie the minute I finished it. And I went to the premiere, and it was, and it is, and I'm just thrilled and just very, very excited for what will happen in the world and the collective consciousness after everybody who's meant to see Peaceful Warrior sees Peaceful Warrior. It will be a whole different atmosphere.
Well,
I truly believe that.
Yeah, you know, a screenwriter friend of mine once said he described a film as a meal for consciousness, you know, in an hour and a half or 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And I so agree with you about the reminders. In fact, routinely in my seminars, I tell people before I start that all I can do is remind people of what we all know at deeper levels but might have forgotten.
Mm.
I'm like a yellow highlighter in the book of life. And even though my business, my primary concern is writing books, I'm working on a new one now, even though I just had Wisdom come out.
Mm-hmm.
There's something about a film. It's the number one art form in the world today. It's the most popular art form.
Yes.
And books are wonderful because you use your imagination when you read, which no other medium allows you to do, to see your own pictures. Still, there's something about that collaborative venture. These experts from set design to, you know, the actors, the director, the set designers, the lighters, the cinematographer, all these wonderful, skillful people who get together and invest money and time in making an experience for people up there on the screen, I think is just great. That's why, again, I'm excited about seeing the film. It was really quite a moment in my life. You can imagine, as an author, waiting 25 years with just a dream of maybe seeing a book turned into a film, and then having someone like Nick Nolte step in to play Socrates, Amy Smart, who's just a sweetheart, Scott Meklowitz, who plays my role in the movie and did just a great job. And people don't appreciate that enough, because Scott had to play an arrogant, self-absorbed young gymnast, and he still had to be vulnerable and likable, and he did that. He pulled that off. So I think it's something that I'm looking forward to. The day I saw the film the first time, Joy and I sat in a screening room by ourselves. The producers didn't want to be looking over our shoulders, and we're waiting outside to see what we thought. And really, I was moved to tears a number of times because of the nature of the material and how well. So many things could have gone terribly wrong, but to actually see it up there and have it take shape the way it did, I thought was quite an event.
Right. And for me, when I saw the film, I couldn't stop smiling, and I had tears streaming down my face for all the right reasons. But having read the book and having experienced that, as you said, through the mental images that I created in my own mind as I was reading the book, I had my own movie going on as I read the book. And when I saw the feature film, it was so much like what I saw when I read the book in my own mind that I was flabbergasted.
Yeah, and that says something. Clearly, if you read the book and go word for word in the film again, and the book covers quite a bit more. There's a whole death and rebirth and so on, and yet the movie captured some of the essential scenes and essential reminders and experiences. Even the director's choice, Victor Salva, who did Powder and is best known for the horror genre, like Jeepers Creepers, he was able to create quite an atmosphere in the film. And the choices he made to to choose certain gymnastics events and certain scenes because they were more cinematic, I thought were really, really excellent. He did quite a bit of work on the script himself and really took it up to another level. I was able to contribute it. Believe it or not, anybody who knows the business, it's pretty unusual for an author to bring in a script at the last second and have maybe 10 pages of it incorporated 2 weeks before shooting. When the storyboards were done, when the budgets were set, the scenes, everything, and he was able to seamlessly incorporate some pages he particularly liked. So it was definitely a collaborative venture all the way.
Absolutely, and you make a good point about how it is so fascinating, the amount of people involved in making a feature film, any feature film in general, and the time that they put into it, the passion and their gifts, their collective gifts that they each bring to it, causing this thing to be born. It is just a beautiful midwifing for a birth.
Yep.
Of something really spectacular. And I like what you said that, you know, if you want to send a message, use Western Union. There are films like, for instance, The Secret. Now, that is sweeping the world in a big way because I believe that it's saying a whole different thing in a different way, in a different genre. But it is kind of a message film, but it's got a lot of mystery to it and a lot of other elements to it. And it's holding its own in its own way because it is a different genre. But your film packs every bit as much of a wallop as The Secret does, but in its own style, in its own way, and in a way that's such a story-driven way of expressing it that it gets into your fibers, and it's not something that you forget. Anybody who's I've spoken to personally who has read The Way of the Peaceful Warrior said that it changed their life. And they've forgotten it.
I've heard that probably 1,000 times, maybe 10,000 times from people.
Absolutely.
Because of the book.
How does that make you feel, Dan?
Well, clearly, when I wrote it, I never had any sense that it would have that kind of impact. So it's really, I'm newly delighted all the time to hear that about the book. But it's so unusual to have, I've heard this about the film, too. And how many people go out of a film saying, you know, this film changed my life? And that's, again, because it offers these reminders, yes, about life's bigger picture, what's really important. So I think the book and film complement one another very well. And let me comment just briefly on The Secret. The reason I mention this is because I have a blog at my website. I finally started one where I could share some thoughts on different topics.
And let's give the listeners your website. It's www.danmillman.com. And I apologize for not giving that out up front, but I did send it out in all the notices today. www.danmillman.com. Everybody listening, just go ahead and log on and pull up the website and take a look at it. Everything you could ever want is there.
Yeah, there's quite a bit, but it's very, you know, you read it. It's
yes.
Very user-friendly.
Yes.
Also, someone can go to Peace. If they don't know how to spell Dan Millman, they can go to peacefulwarrior.com. It goes to the same place.
Oh, great.
So that makes it easy. But at this blog, the first one I chose was Comments on The Secret, sort of a Peaceful Warrior's view of the movie The Secret, which I did see. And what I like about that particular film was its method of delivery. It was very interesting choosing to do it. Good production values. And it's basically, you know, mostly it's talking heads. They have some dramatic parts, but most of it's interviews with various people talking about what they call the law of attraction. It's been very popular because many, many people are looking for magic in the world and ways that promise to get what we want through just thinking about it or visualizing it. And the Peaceful Warrior's way emphasizes that it's good to visualize, to dream, to set goals, but ultimately it's action which is going to get us there. Anybody who's succeeded and done well in anything, if they look at it very honestly, says, yes, I worked hard over time to do this. I didn't just focus on it and visualize it and it effortlessly manifested somehow magically in my life. That would be lovely. If someone can find a way to do that, then I say all power to them. But I do like to respectfully state that it's a first, what The Secret is about is maybe the first step. So I recommend that people dream big, but then start small and connect the dots through their own efforts.
Right, and with The Secret, what I've been in my coachings and teachings and the things that I'm doing is telling people, you know, watch The Secret, but then put on your overalls and get to work.
Well,
because you can't just magically make it appear. You have to work for it. But this gives you some tools on how to think while you're doing it.
Yeah, Thomas Edison once said most people miss opportunity because it's dressed in overalls and looks like work.
Yes, that's true. But definitely, there. You know, what The Secret does really is ignite your imagination and ignites your own power. It puts the tools right in your hands, but you can't build anything unless you use those tools.
Right.
And you have to have the motivation and inspiration to use those tools. And that's what I feel The Secret really, really does very well, even for the layman. And Peaceful Warrior, I mean, I can't think of one person that it won't touch. I don't care how old, how young. I can't think of one person that it won't touch. So it's just a magical film all in itself, and it's clearly brought forth from the universe. Every single person along the way that was part of its development, its creation, and its fruition, I believe, was completely preordained, and it's all the pieces fit together perfectly. And every person who was a part of it heard the call, trusted their instincts, trusted their intuition, acted upon it, and became a part of what brought it about. And I just want to say thank you to everyone who did that, because this is truly a wonderful, beautiful piece of cinema that we get to have in our treasure chest of things to remember forever. It's legendary, as is your book. And, you know, that might sound like great big giant words and an embellished way to refer to it, but that's personally how this radio host feels about it.
Well, I appreciate that.
Yeah. And not to downplay Wisdom of the Peaceful Warrior, if I may, Dan, is that in the press release that I have, it calls it a companion book, and I'm so glad that you brought to my attention that it's much, much, much more than that. It stands on its own two legs without any other help, and it does. So, you know, I'm just wondering if it's out already, and if it is, where can we get it?
Well, it's actually in the bookstores just this week, I think, and of course it's available online as well. And it's really interesting to me. I'm just, you know, it's so important to an author to hear feedback when a book is just out, that first feedback that comes in. I've had some people I know who've written to me because they're just into the book now and they're really loving it, but one never knows. You know, just like the movies, one never knows until opening weekend, and the same with a book. But I'm starting to get feedback from people who haven't read Peaceful Warrior and those who have. And so they both have a different experience of it, because some people are just discovering the teachings through Wisdom of the Peaceful Warrior. Others are going, oh, is that what he meant? Is that what it was about?
You know?
So, it's really...
like when Socrates said house rules, you pretty much explain what that means?
Right, right.
Okay, what does that mean?
Well, you know, when you're playing a game of chance in a casino, you know what the house rules are, the rules of that particular house, but... When Socrates referred to the house rules, he was talking about the larger life, the larger game of life. It's been said that life is a game we play as if it matters. And if life is a kind of game, it has a certain number of certain kinds of rules. Call them spiritual or universal laws. And the difference between an aphorism or a proverb or a wise saying and a spiritual law, for example, you know, you could say that you can't teach an old dog new tricks. We've all heard that cliche.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we also hear you're never too old to learn. And so we've all heard that birds of a feather flock together, but opposites attract. We've heard that he or she who hesitates is lost, but look before you leap.
Mm.
So many proverbs seem to contradict one another.
Mm-hmm.
But there's another one called the chain breaks at its weakest link. Now, we've all heard that.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, if we try to think of a contradiction, we're not going to. Because if we break 10,000 chains, every one is going to break at its weakest link.
Mm-hmm.
That's what makes it a law. It's consistent, and it's also universal. It applies across every domain, because we're not just talking about chains. We break at our weakest link as well, whether it's physical, emotional, mental, you know, whatever it is. So... that's what Socrates meant by the house rules. He was talking about rules of the universe and aligning ourselves with the laws of surrender or non-resistance, the laws of balance, the law of choices. One of my books is called The Laws of Spirit, where an ageless woman sage takes me through the mountains and teaches me up in the mountains by watching streams flow around obstacles downhill and so on. She teaches me 12 spiritual laws, and it's central to my work. I don't just express my opinions, which are no more valuable than anyone else's. I actually work on principles that are universal. And that's what I convey to people, because they can use those like tools. By aligning themselves with those laws, life starts to flow more because they're not struggling upstream anymore.
Absolutely. And that's the beautiful thing, is the new consciousness is taking place at a momentum that can't be stopped. And your film is so timely. And I'm telling you, anytime I'm at a premiere or any kind of screening or event in Hollywood or teach a class or whatever I'm doing, I cannot tell you the times I hear when people find out that I have Spiritual Hollywood Radio Show, how the most staunch cynic will come up to me and say, "This is timely.
Yes.
This is timely." And it is. Because there is I believe the second coming is about consciousness shift more so than any kind of apocalypse. I believe that it has to do more with the way that we think universally than it does with anything, because if we don't become conscious, we're going to lose it. And to become conscious, in my opinion, means that, you know, in the gangs that happen in East LA and all over where we have this conflict, you know, if people were more conscious and really knew who they really each individually are, you would not see God picking up a gun and aiming that gun at another God, you know, because we are the image and likeness of our Maker. We are God essence. And once we get conscious to the fact that we are each one individual, that, how could we continue to hurt one another the way we do and have religious conflict and turmoil and chaos that's going on in the world? And there's nothing that would please me more than to somehow myself be a catalyst in resolving the religious conflict that's going on, because talk about a contradiction in its own teachings. I believe that it is possible in this lifetime to create something like that, and I believe that it's coming. And your film certainly does a lot to help people take a look at their shadow selves and see if it's actually, you know, that shadow self is running our life, or are we friends with it, and what effect is it impacting our community, our lives, our families, ourselves? What is it causing in us and for us? Is it helping or is it destroying? And the shadow self, in the way I mean it, is the ego, the one that makes you think that it's the master, when actually it is our God essence that is the master. But the ego, the wounded ego, will make us believe that we're the small, meaningless, you know, non-valuable, unworthy self, and behave that way. So your film has an excellent scene that I just will not say more about it, because I want people to see it for themselves, but it just really, really rocked my world when I saw that scene.
Well, it was, March 30th, people will get some of those reminders.
Oh, yes, and it was just so elegantly done, just really, so, like, I was like, wow, just amazing. So, you know, Dan, to have you as my guest tonight, I have to be candid and tell you that, you know, I've been looking forward to it for months. First I visualized it, and I applied the rules of The Secret and kept believing and kept doing the right things, and here you are as my guest. And I just hope that I'm honoring you to the level that you deserve, because for this person who has had a lot of struggle and a lot of challenge, like all of us, but I mean, you know, for some, life really did give us a lot of reasons to fail, and if we manage to prevail over them anyway, that in my opinion comes from wonderful supporters like yourself, who offer their own gifts from the heart and get them on the page, get them on the screen, put them out there where we can find them and see that they are available to help heal the wounded soul, to help help us understand that we're not alone, not really, that we are all connected, and there is a unified field of love that we all belong to, and there is nobody that is so unworthy that they don't belong to that unified field of love, and we are all a part of everything, of all there is. And you know, your books, every one of them, one book I particularly enjoy that you did is The Life That You Were Born to Live.
Oh, yes.
Wow. That's really an amazing book, too. What made you think of that book, if I don't digress too much here?
Well, in the book I'm working on now, which won't be out for probably about a year, it's called My Search for Spirit. It's a memoir, and it is it's going to explain a lot of things about the, what we call the spiritual search. And I go into the unusual mentor I met who revealed that particular interpretation that allowed me to share years later, a decade later, the life purpose system to help people clarify some issues, core issues of their life through an unusual means. And there's a long story, it's impossible to tell now about how that book came about, but it was could have been my only work I ever wrote. It was sort of a lifetime work, very difficult, challenging book to write. And each of my books, With a Life You Were Born to Live, Living on Purpose, The Laws of Spirit, each one cried out to me, really. And I didn't even know I was going to write it until it just became clear. Now it's the time to write me. So it is like giving birth. There's a conception, there's a gestation, there's a labor pains.
Mm-hmm.
I have to do the typing and the writing and the rewriting to bring it into life.
Mm-hmm.
So that was just one of 14 that I've contributed, and I'm just, you know,
sorry to interrupt you there, but I did read all of those books that you just mentioned, and when I finished reading your book, if I might just share this little story, it's really fun, about synchronicity, and I believe synchronicity is divinity showing off. The day that I finished reading The Way of the Peaceful Warrior and stood up, declared this needs to be a movie, I was so sorry there was no more pages to read. I just was like, oh, it's done. And I looked in the back. I saw a website. I was at a park under a tree, and I raced home to my computer. I typed in your website. I looked at your schedule of where you were speaking. I saw that, oh, my gosh, that very night you were going to be at the Bodhi Tree on Melrose in Los Angeles. And I knew I had maybe an hour to get there. I got myself together. I didn't even think twice. I got in my car. I went ahead in my mind and got the perfect parking place, because I don't know about you, but for parking in front of the Bodhi Tree, it's extremely difficult, even at the slowest hour. So I went ahead in my mind, and I divined my parking place. And as soon as I got there, of course, it was packed. There were people out the door waiting to get in to see you. And as soon as I pulled up, a Jaguar pulled out right in front of the Bodhi Tree and left money in the meter for me. I pulled right in. I go to the door with the places packed. Not one chair was empty from what I could see, and people out the door. I run into the room where you were standing in the front, and I just look around, and I have this look on my face like, I'm here. And you looked at me, and you said, hi, welcome, we've been waiting for you. There's a seat right down front. And there was, and you seated me right in front of you. And I don't know how it happened, why it happened, but I know it did happen, and it's exactly what I wanted, and it did take place. And that very night, I bought all of the rest of the books, and you signed them for me. And here you are on my radio show that I didn't have then. And I just can't tell you how wonderful it is to share with you that part of the reason why I have a radio show is because your books inspired me so much that I really, really want to make a difference in the world myself.
That's very clear to me. Ever since I met you, that was very clear. Your heart and enthusiasm are wonderful. And there's one light, many lamps. So keep shining, Katie.
Thank you. And also, I want to tell you, when you sent me the watch here now.
You're right.
And first of all, I was sharing with Jeff Huttner that I think you know Jeff, he knows you. Anyway, I shared with him, I said, I want to create a watch that just simply has the word now on the face.
Mm-hmm.
No numbers, nothing. No hands, just the word now.
Yep.
Just as kind of a fun thing. And he said, well, you know, Dan Millman has a watch that says here now on it. And I said, he does? He goes, yeah, go to his website. And I went, I saw it, I got the watch, and I received it the very day I was supposed to leave to Ojai to go to the peace conference to interview Barbara Marks Hubbard for my book. And Jeff Huttner arranged that for me. And I was like, oh, my gosh, I got the watch just in time. What a great place to wear it and debut this wonderful watch here now. And so I'm in my garage packing my car, and there's a cement floor, and I'm putting my suitcase in the car because I was spending the weekend in Ojai. And I heard a chink sound, and I went, no, that wasn't the watch. And I look around, sure enough, the watch had fallen off my purse on its face onto the concrete floor and cracked the crystal. And I was like, oh my God, oh, I can't believe it. I haven't even had a chance to wear it. You know how a person would freak out about something like that.
Uh-huh.
And then I turned the watch over and I looked at the face, and it looked at me and it said, here now. And I went, oh, my gosh, you're good. Oh, you're good. Because as soon as it reminded me to be here and now, I stopped worrying about the crystal.
Yeah.
Immediately. I got present again. And then I put the watch on, and all the way to Ojai, I kept looking at it and smiling, going, you know, I'm not going to tell one person that your crystal was cracked this whole weekend. And I made a point not to tell anybody. And so many people love this watch. I told them where to get it, and, you know, just was very proud to have that watch on my arm at a peace conference. You know, it was the perfect place to wear it. And so on the way back from Ojai, I was looking at the watch again, looking at the cracked crystal, and remembering that I didn't tell one person the crystal was cracked when they said, what a great watch. And you know what I got from that? I got that when people praise me or give me a compliment or say something nice about me, I don't have to say, yeah, but my crystal is cracked. I don't have to. And if I don't, nobody's going to know that I ever had a hardship or a challenge or something that I'm healing from. I don't have to broadcast that. I can just let them admire me for all I am and what they see and say thank you.
Yes.
Your watch gave me that.
Oh, boy. Who would have known?
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
And that will be a chapter in the book I'm writing here now, and it will be a tribute to this watch that you thought to market and put on your website and make available for you, yours truly and everybody else. And I strongly recommend everybody go on Dan's website and see the absolute plethora, treasure chest of goodies on there. There is absolutely anything you could ever want, T-shirts, audio books, audio downloads. Do those also go on MP3 players and iPods, Dan?
Oh, sure.
Great. And he's got Here and Now timepiece is what I'm talking about, as a matter of fact. Go on there and look at that. It's so affordable, you'd be silly not to get one. And just amazing, amazing, well thought out, completely sensitive to what the world needs and wants. And, you know, I believe every visionary and every living luminary hears the calling from global consciousness, Dan, of what's needed, what's necessary, and that's what triggers you to go, oh, it's time to write me, and then we have your next book.
Seems to work like that. And, of course, for many of us, people listening, we all have the same access, the same connection to that inspiration, to that sense of bigger picture, the transcendent. Whatever we're doing, whether we're actors, whether we work in the industry in the Los Angeles area, or whatever we do in the world, if we see it as a way, as a means of development, we're not just doing it to do it. We learn about ourselves here, and that's what I mean when I say Earth is a divine school and daily life is our classroom. Lessons repeat themselves till we learn them, and eventually we do. Daily life is guaranteed to teach us all we need to know to evolve as human beings. And what I can do by writing books and teaching and films like Peaceful Warrior is to perhaps provide a kind of map and a set of reminders so people can learn even more from daily life, save some time, and maybe save a little unnecessary pain.
Right, right. And I came to a revelation just today myself, and I just want to share that with you and get your thoughts on it, is that, you know, I was just contemplating, and I do a little meditation when I wake up in the morning because my day is absolutely packed just like yours is with wonderful, exciting things. And I got really clear that I chose my path and my parents and my circumstances because I cannot take anyone any further than I have gone myself. So I know I chose the path that I've been on that has taught me so much about what goes on with people when they feel broken or when they feel that, they're disconnected from the unified field of love, for instance, which is the highest psychic pain we could possibly endure. And if we don't go through those dark nights of the soul, then we really won't know what it is, or we can't take anyone any further than we've ever only gone ourselves. And if we haven't gone there ourselves, we can't really help anyone else through it. And I believe that as peaceful warriors, what we would really be mindful to do is to examine our lives and to see how far we've gone and to evaluate just how far that is, and I guarantee you it'll be a lot farther than most of us think that it is, and that we have a lot more capabilities than we think that we do, and that our calling is greater than we think that it is. And once we get in touch with that, that's when you really become the peaceful warrior, because you are taking all the things in your life that you've resisted, that you've had to learn over and over again because you didn't get it the first time, and then you can put into place a way and a blueprint to help other people through their dark nights of the soul. And in my opinion, that's what a peaceful warrior does. And they learn to control their emotions rather than let their emotions control them. And that does take a lot. That takes something grand. That takes knowing that there's something bigger than us. That takes knowing that we are all connected and that we are one big giant family. And that you know, for me, the world is my family, and I love every single person in this world. I just don't have to hang out with all of them, but I do love every single person in this world, and I want to find a way to say that through making a difference in any way that I can, no matter how small or how big. I believe that one person can make a difference, and if we all want that person to be us, it'll be a different world tomorrow.
Well, I certainly wish you well in your writing and your book as well, and all that you do on this station to bring different guests and different perspectives to share with the public, because you certainly are someone who is called to share, as I am, and as many people out there are in their own way. So I think it's, I certainly agree with your perspective.
Wonderful. And I want to encourage everybody, whatever you have in your hero's heart, please, please don't give up on it, and tell somebody. Tell somebody who can midwife it into being and birth that dream, that goal into being. Get it on the page. Get it on the screen. Get it out of your heart into the world, where people like me and people who are suffering and don't know that there's anything more for them than what they're living through, their environment, and show them that there is, that there's something better, that there's something more, that there's something that they are here for, that they have a purpose, and they are all part of it. And if they were not on this planet, there would be such a missing. Each and every one of us have that kind of power. And before our show comes to a close, Dan, I just want to share with our listeners some locations of where you will be. And we have, let's see, that's January. Let's look at February, something that's coming up for you. We have here, you're going to Costa Rica.
Yeah, this is my fourth time at Pura Vida Spa. Anybody can go any week of the year. It's a wonderful place, service-oriented, delicious food, and they can experience Costa Rica, a country with no military, high emphasis on education, beautiful rainforest. We do whitewater rafting and zip through the treetops on zip lines, flying up in the trees. But for the peaceful warrior training, we do some physical things, very gentle movements, and also some evening seminars. So it's a wonderful place down there in Costa Rica, and it's my fourth time, as I said. People, of course, can read about all the events that are coming up at my website. I thought I might share just a close from my little book, The Laws of Spirit. I think it might be a wonderful thing to share as we draw toward a close.
Oh, yes.
It's a very brief part, but I think it expresses from my heart to you and to your listeners. This woman sage said to me as we were parting, she said, "These are my wishes and prayers for you all the days of your life. May you find grace as you surrender to life. May you find happiness as you stop seeking it. The challenges of daily life will remain," she said, "and you will tend to forget what I have shown you, but a deeper part of you will remember, and when you do, life's problems will seem no more substantial than soap bubbles. The path will open before you where before there grew only weeds of confusion. Your future and the future of all humanity is a path into the light, into a growing realization of your unity with the Creator and all creation. And what lies beyond is beyond description. Even when the sky appears at its darkest, know that the sun shines upon you, that love surrounds you, and that the pure light within you will guide your way home. So trust the process of your life unfolding, and know with certainty through the peaks and valleys of your journey that your soul rests safe and secure in the arms of Spirit." So that's the close of that book, and I thought it was a nice final words for me.
That was so beautiful and so eloquently read. Thank you so much, Dan, for that. That was just, wow, that just brought me to tears. That was beautiful. And the sun is always shining above the clouds, and on any cloudy day, just look up and know that that's what's going on up there.
Absolutely. special is.
It's always there, and it's always shining, and you're the reason the sun came up this morning. Believe it, each and every one of you. So thank you, Dan Millman, for being my guest this evening. This has been absolutely a sheer delight, and congratulations on everything wonderful that's happening and the opening of the film. I know that that's just such a thrill and a roller coaster of the best kind, and you know, I know you have many, many more wonderful things coming our way from your heart to ours, and I can't wait to see what that is. And thanks for listening to Your Calling. And everybody out there, thanks again for being with us on Spiritual Hollywood. Thank you, Don Newsome, for making Spiritual Hollywood possible and creating this platform for change in this wonderful way. And I thank all of our listeners, all the new ones. Please come back again. All of the ones who listen every week, thank you so much for your support. And remember that you are truly love, joy, happiness, freedom, harmony, peace, and abundance. And keep loving one another, because that's why we're here. God bless, and thanks again. Good night, everybody. Good night, Dan.